broadcasting on the internet and at 90.1 FM from high atop Burnaby Mountain. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM.
Everywhere, everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
You're missing a couple of strings on this bass guitar. Is that how you learned it, and you never bothered to buy two new ones, or is there a plan?
After 2 years, I mean, what's the point spending money and a lot of it? It's like two is enough. It's adequate. Anybody can play this bass.
Garage band. Do you think you're still a garage band now?
No, definitely we've progressed to a basement band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got inside the house now.
We're inside the house now.
Sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun.
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
I think that most music probably is, in a sense, or it's sort of an electronic thing or a mathematical thing, and that all exists in the molecular structure of the universe.
You're tuned into Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area, and also syndicating across several different stations throughout Canada. We have a special episode for you tonight, whenever you're listening, highlighting some of the interviews and music from those bands that we spoke with. I'm your host, Dave. We're also joined with Adam. Adam, hello and welcome.
Hello, Dave, and hello, listeners, to the special edition, which is a compilation episode. On this episode, we're counting down some of our favorite talks that we've had with musicians throughout the year as we highlight every single interview conducted through Revolution Rock in 2023, a combination of interviews that aired on the program and ones that were featured on the website through text interviews. And that website, of course, is revrock.blogspot.com. So in this episode, we're going to have clips of the interviews that we've aired. We're going to be playing songs from the bands that were interviewed both on the website and on air. And that's going to be basically our final celebration of the year 2023.
Do you know how many interviews we did?
Quite a few.
Do you know how many, though?
Seven?
Yes, eight. Seven.
Eight minus one is seven, so yes.
You got it. Seven interviews. Okay, that's total, all the different kinds. But, yes, so let's get to it. We're actually going to start off with a pair of tracks from By Divine Right. We spoke with Jose Contreras as part of our theme month in 2023, doing an entire episode on his music centered around a show that was happening at the time in Windsor. So let's get started. We're going to start off actually with a demo of a song called I Climb. In 2023, he put out the album Automato Demo, which is demo versions of songs that would be on Automato and several outtakes. So we're going to hear that. And we're also going to hear another track from the album proper, Automato.
Mm-hmm, that's right. We're going to follow that up with East Side Anthem. And then we're going to hear some clips from that interview with Jose Contreras before we get into some more on this edition of Revolution Rock.
Thank you. bumping along the road.
Your new album, Automato. When did you start working on this record, and how do you think it differed when you recorded it from previous By Divine Right records?
I started working on it like a long time ago. I mean, because I write songs all the time, so I could feel it in the air, like in 2016, and we were on a real roll. The band was on a real roll, but then, you know, this should happen to everyone's lives, and Jordy moved to St. John's. and Le Schmutz Vancouver, and we were playing so much and flying around enough that we thought that we'll be able to survive all that. But then, you know, life got in the way, and then a couple of missed opportunities. Now it doesn't seem like that long because the pandemic took so long away from us, right? But at the time, like in 2017, to me, it was fully tragic that like 9 months had gone by and that we'd gotten together to jam and it hadn't gone like perfectly. So I was just like, that's it, my life is over. But then, you know, we played a show in 2017, only one show at a festival. And we played like, you know, like about half of the record. And I was like, I'm canceling our show if we don't play all new songs. You know, I was just completely against playing anything, you know, except that new tunes, or I would be like, not playing the show. But we didn't finish it till like the mixing. I didn't finish mixing it. You know how the pandemic slowed everything up? I think like I had a mastering date for April 2020. And I probably didn't master it till summer 2021 because wait a minute. What year is it?
It's 2023 now.
Anyways. It took like it was an extra year. It took me an extra year to like really like be able to, you know, and I'm kind of spoiled because I have my own studio, and that's a real bonus as well as like, you know, it means that like if I want to take my time with something, I can, you know. So some of the mixing took probably longer than, but I experimented a lot. So in the mixing, because you know the world's crumbling around you, and I'm stuck in here, you know, with all my gear. It's like, well, what else am I gonna do? I mean, I run in, give my kids snacks, and, you know, because at the same time, you know, in isolation, you figure that everything's over. And even without a pandemic, you figure, like, who would be interested in this? Really great to release it and have people like it, you know? I've been following the same echo my whole life, you know, so I don't know that it differs that much from other By Divine Right records, except of where I'm at now, you know? In a way, like, I'm more in control of what I'm doing, so it's closer to what I'm think it's gonna be. Even so, at some point you just kind of gotta let it go and be like, well, I'm kind of a painter, so this is what I painted. I hope you like it, you know, like you know, sometimes it's pretty good, sometimes I feel pretty good about it. I really do feel good about it, but like, you know, like in a very personal way, you know, I am also like an amateur art historian, so I could rip it apart if I really wanted to.
I wanted to ask about the title Automato. Maybe you could tell us how you came up with that. And I know you said originally it was something else you were thinking. Maybe you could tell us about how they kind of changed.
Yeah, I love the name Automato. It's you know, you know how when bands have like a, or there'll be a record that's just like a sounds instead of words, or they're kind of almost words, but they're kind of more sounds. And I didn't know it was a palindrome. Automato works backwards as well, I guess. All of a sudden I'm seeing like a graphic. Anyways, you know, aren't the best things sometimes when you're just innocently into something, you know? And so I just felt like we were tapped into something really cool, and I wanted to make a thing that was us, the sound of us. So that was where onomatopoeia came from, that word where it just means that, you know, that what that word means, right? Like whatever.
Yeah.
That the word sounds like the word, like wham or like fart. So Onomatopoeia was the name of the original record, and then as it kind of didn't work out to be quite that way, and I was trying to spell Onomatopoeia, and it was like I had all sorts of different ways of spelling it, and like seeing what the graphic looked like, Automatopoeia, Onomatopoeia, you know, like, etc. It's got one of those weird AEs too in the spelling of the word. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that letter is. You guys know what that letter's called?
The AE thing?
Like the AE thing, yeah. So
I don't know. Adam, do you know?
I know what you're referring to. I can't think of the title of it. But yeah, it's interesting. A letter that, an uncommon letter, a combination that becomes something different.
Maybe it's a phonetic symbol for like how to pronounce it. As opposed to Spanish, which has letters that the English language doesn't have, right? Like Enye and Eye and... Anyways, So yeah, somehow in there, I just probably called a folder Automato and was like, that's pretty funny. And it's kind of kraut rock-y, so it's kind of auto. I'm Chilean, right? So like the Chileans have a lot of Don Otto jokes, like jokes about a character named Don Otto, who Mr. Otto, who is sort of like, you know, the butt of many a joke. He's like a well-meaning and maybe spaced out German guy, Otto. So then there's that element that's where like Otto motto.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's lots of layers. And I have a lot of stuff recorded on my, it used to be a cassette or a Zoom recorder or my phone. So I went to there, and you know what, I think it was on my phone, where I was just scrolling through. I was like, okay, now I'm gonna work on some songs. And I tried a couple of things that were on my mind, and I just kind of go through my memos, and The Weeping Man was on my voice memo, like surprisingly complete.
Oh wow.
And I had no memory of it until I checked audio message 0071. You know, like, yeah. I wasn't even named. And then, of course, when I heard it, I was like, oh, right, this weird thing. And I remember at the time, whatever, like a mood hit me on my acoustic. And I was like, I don't particularly like this or even know, but I'll hit record quickly. And I laid it down in one take. And then, yeah, until that day that I was starting to demo new songs, and I found that song on there, and I was surprised at how fully formed it was, and how the parts that I thought were throwaway were actually kind of really kind of cool. And it kind of caught me right away. And I immediately assumed that I would do a demo of it and never show anybody, because it wasn't necessarily where I was at. I was still hanging on to 2015, thinking like, this next record's going to be like, yeah, let's do this, right? Instead of like, it does us instead of we doing it. and then The Weeping Man reminded me of like, sort of like the characters in cities that you, like, I don't remember what I was thinking when I wrote it. Like, I wasn't thinking anything. It was just a moment. But when I started like taking that voice memo and turning it into a song, just there's so many characters and cities that you see over and over again. In general, a lot of the people like that talk to me, maybe because I look at them, or maybe they, you know, like, so I know them. Or, you know, do you ever have like sort of like the someone who, and you make eye contact from like half a block away, and you're like, oh God, every time I see them, they look at me right into my soul, and I they see my soul, and I see them, and I see their soul. There's so many people like that. And so I kind of thought of the song as like an NFB movie.
Oh,
this character kind of walking down the street like and walking around like Ossington and DuPont, which has changed a lot. You know that intersect goes like this? That gas station's been gone forever, like one of the only downtown gas stations where I used, and then the Sobeys, where like I grabbed so many milk crates. And you got to think, in rock and roll, how many milk crates do you go through in like 30 years? I've gone through like 100 milk crates, you know? And like that studio building, and there's that other bridge. There's two bridges near it, that weird intersection. So like The Weeping Man kind of takes place there, kind of. Like sort of like kind of people that you see walking around. I guess it was, that's it. And it was pretty auto writing too. It was auto motto, you know?
You know, I think that's interesting too, because even though we talked about the title before, for me, there's a lot that you can get from that. Of course, there's the wordplay, the phonetic play, but I also took from that automation. And for me, The Weeping Man stood out because I think that and some other songs almost feature people or figures lost in this world of constant automation and movement.
Wow. Yeah, maybe you get it better than I do.
Well, that's just this one person's opinion, but
yeah, no, it's cool. I guess I hear what you mean. Like, it's definitely like, it's easy to be so numb. And so like, in a way, like what comes out is like whenever I can really latch on to something that feels super real, you know, and then it feels real enough in front of other people, which is a really hard transition, right? Because all of us, it's hard. I don't even know how I ended up in front of people, because it's hard to do your thing in front of people, right?
Or to be people. Genuine. Yeah.
And to show stuff. I don't mean to be like all like, wah, because I've had it really easy and really great in so many ways. So, I know what you mean about that. So it has to feel like you have to get a feeling out of it, or I have to get a feeling out of it, or it's hard to do.